I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erio's original.
I just figured out something about your podcast.
Okay.
Well, so your hobbies are sometimes things that you kind of know you're not quite good enough to like really super succeed at as a career. Like, I couldn't be a professional singer.
Oh my God, you have such a good voice. I just heard Natasha yesterday sing a note of music to her daughter, well, to both of her kids, and she was just like,
No.
Welcome to Filling the Void, which is a podcast I do where I talk to people about what they do for pure joy, their hobbies, no agenda driven things, nothing you make money from, just the fun of doing something for your life that you like and don't care what anybody else thinks, how you fill the void. So Natasha Leggero is here today. She's a very famous actress and comedian. One of her hobbies.
Very famous.
You are.
Thanks, Leslie. Is that a good thing? I don't know.
I mean, what, to be famous?
I'm not very famous, but if I was, is that a compliment?
I mean, I think that, okay, maybe not very famous. I don't know. I really don't know. But to me, you're famous and have cachet. And as a performer, I think that's a good thing. Isn't that the goal? And a writer? I don't know.
Right.
You had your own show.
If no one ever knows about anything you do, then it must not be very beloved.
Right. Like you're not like making your own TV shows to like heal thyself and like it's, you know what I mean? Like you'd be like writing poetry in a cabin somewhere.
That sounds fun.
I know. Don't you want to get a house upstate?
Yeah.
New York.
But then it's like, well, wouldn't you get bored?
I don't ever get bored. You'd have TV and like your phone.
That sounds awful.
The thing about having a place upstate New York, ticks, limes.
Oh, I'm not into that.
Me either. So I don't know where to go. This is not an option for me right now, but one day it will be. Like, what about like Minnesota?
Hell no.
Why? Too cold?
Oh, yeah. I'm from Chicago and you don't, it's like, it's below zero often.
Cozy.
No, it's not. And you've got to like hack ice off your car. In Minnesota, you have to plug in your car at night. So it's like in like a warmer. Or else it'll freeze.
What kind of plug? My car doesn't have an outlet.
I don't know. They have to like charge their, do something to their cars at night so that they can start the next day when it's that cold. My mother is from there.
Really?
And she grew up on a farm there. But I think it was just like awful, like ice cold all the time.
So where would you want a summer country house cabin?
Monaco.
Totally. I know. You're so European.
Well, I just was there once and I was like, oh, this is better than anything else.
Really?
Yeah. Like when I was doing the our Comedy Central show, for some reason, the head of Viacom flew us to like a party in Monaco.
Oh, my God.
And it was like right at 4th of July. So it was like at the perfect weather.
Right.
And it was kind of like New Orleans, but like on a cliff and everything was pink and the air and everyone's like on the beach and it's just perfect weather.
So nice.
Yeah, and architecture, and, you know, it's just everything was
really...
Did
you buy rugs? and ship them back?
I was only there for one. I mean, when I had to leave, I felt like I was getting kicked off like an island or so. Like, it was only for like night.
That's Monaco. I'm sorry, not Morocco. I've been to Monaco.
Oh, you have? Yeah. What did you think?
I was younger. I thought it was awesome. It's
wait,
like,
your parents took you to Monaco?
No. I went there when I was like traveling around Europe when I was 20 or 21 or something. I was there for a night also. It was like very James Bondish.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked it. It was beautiful. It's amazing. I mean, it's very rich though.
Yeah. I'm sure it would be so annoying to be there. And
so you don't want a cabin in the woods
there?
No,
that's true. That's true. That's true.
You're going to have to
Santa Barbara, I guess. Oh, no, Big Sur. Sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot about Big Sur.
Oh, it's so cool.
But I do think that if you were a local somewhere, it would get old.
No, but you would just have it as like another house in my dream.
In my dream, I'd rather just save that money and stay at the nicest hotel.
For how long? Like one
until the money ran out. I don't know. Really? 3 nights?
In LA. What? 3 nights versus owning land and another
because
house?
Because how often are you really going to get there?
I mean, I would think that when you purchase a piece of land, the incentive is to go as much as possible because you bought it. Like weekends, the summer, holidays.
Well, then it should be like 45 minutes away.
Right.
It should be in Ojai.
Right.
That feels realistic.
Yeah, it's like where else to go but LA, you know? JK, LA sucks.
You don't like LA?
It's like fine. I mean, like I love my life here and like my friends and like my family, you know.
I bet New York sucks right now, though. I bet it's all construction all the time.
Yeah, but
everywhere you go, there's
like seasons.
That's true. This is a season, though. It's raining.
Yeah, it's been a wintry LA. Well,
Really want it to get below 60?
I miss forests and woods. And
all those forests in New York. I mean, upstate, yes.
There are.
But not like when you're living in New York.
No, but I mean, I'm from Long Island and
That's nice.
I don't want to own a house in Long Island, but I don't know. I like growing up there and living there. New Yorkers complain about everything. I kind of love that. Like every season they complain. Allergies in the spring. Too cold in winter. Too hot in summer.
You like the fall. Camaraderie into too. Fall. Like,
yeah, I do.
Everyone's kind of...
I like that it's small, that you run into people that you know all the time.
That's nice.
Yeah. And that's fun. And you go out and you put on like a cute outfit because it matters.
Yeah, it's not that fun to go out here.
No.
You'd always rather just be inside.
I know. The Gelson's is like the hot... The Gelson's in Silver Lake is like...
I started going there on Tuesdays and they play live music. So I sat at the bar with my 1-year-old and had a glass of wine while we waited for Moshe to come.
I think Morgan Murphy watches Jeopardy at the Gelson's bar. It sounds so fun to me. I mean, like, I think just watching Jeopardy.
It's always full, the bar.
Yeah.
Even in the day,
it's a boom
spot. It's interesting.
Me and Mary put on outfits to go to Gelson's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we're losers. Like, that's so sad.
I need to start dressing up for Gelson's.
Yeah, it's cool. The one on, you'd think that the one on Franklin would be.
No, that one has a serious vibe.
I know. Why is it so serious?
I don't know.
It does have like a no talking in the supermarket vibe.
No talking.
It's scary. It's like, yeah, it's a serious supermarket. Okay. Well, I wanted to talk to you about two things. And one of the things, we started talking about interior design, but I didn't want to talk about that first. I wanted to talk about your other hobby, which you're less interested in, but I'm more interested in, which is you take piano lessons.
I do.
Which is the cutest thing that's
I've been
ever
taking for a very long time.
To me.
I can't do it, but I can't play anything.
So you've been taking it for how long?
I just found this really good teacher who like can teach me songs.
For
so
how
it's
long
fun.
Have you been taking it?
I don't know, like 6 years.
Okay, so
but
you've
like
been taking it for 6 years. You have a really good teacher and you can't play anything? I don't believe
you. Well,
that's
because I'll take like 3 months off. Mm. You know what I mean? And then I won't do it for like, I don't think I did it the whole time I was pregnant. So I took like a year off. So now I'm just starting to like take it again.
What can
you
play?
It definitely makes me feel guilty. Because I'm like, because I feel like I'm going to like a finishing school.
But that you're into that.
Like, I kind of schedule my day like I'm at Spence.
Oh my God. I wish, right?
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Like to have like squash practice and then
do they do that at Spence?
Then you tour like the Museum of Modern Art and discuss the paintings. Then you see a ballet. I don't know. That's just what I imagine how Gwyneth Paltrow and Kerry Washington went to school.
I know. Seems I know. Fun. So it's all girls, right?
It's all girls and it's like Upper East Side and it's
sounds so mean. Like there's so many mean girls.
Oh my God, think of how hard it is to get in.
I know. Spence. I once went to the Bennington July program, which is like a summer program for high school kids at Bennington College. And
is that in Manhattan or upstate?
No, it's in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
It's a really small school, but there was a girl there. She was actually so nice. She was so nice, but she went to Spence. And she was like tall and thin and beautiful and not fake nice, like genuinely kind person. Forget her name.
I wonder what they teach you there.
Regular things.
You think?
Definitely.
You're definitely learning stuff.
You're learning stuff
that you wouldn't, that is like specialized and useless.
Your family, when you have a rich family, they teach you those things like manners and like how to fold napkins and whatever, etiquette. Right. I don't think that they teach you that at Spence. I don't think it's a finishing school. I think it's just a private school. But I mean, maybe there are, I could also be wrong. Like
that's just my like Midwest public school like fantasy that they're totally. Like, you know, teaching them all how to like recognize a Rembrandt.
They probably do teach that in art class, but I learned that too.
No, I know.
Maybe I mean, that was more of a college thing. I don't, but I still like can't recognize one.
No, I was just reading this article about this guy who's discovered a Rembrandt, and it's but his family came from like a long line of like art historians and right. and Rembrandt experts.
Oh,
so it's like however you're raised, it totally puts you in this like rarefied place to like
right. So he just like stumbled upon one. Oh, how perfect!
But it's just interesting. A little too perfect. Like you, yeah, I know. So you just kind of learn these things from your family.
Right. Like, I think that when you come from super rich parents, also, like, Gwyneth Paltrow's parents were successful in their own way. They probably yeah. taught her, like, you know, it's uncouth to show up to set in a tank top or whatever. Well... You have to be able to play something. And when's the last time you took a lesson?
So I took a lesson today.
You did? That's so cute. What's your teacher's name?
Well, first of all, another reason why I want to learn is because my kid likes it when I'm playing. So then she like wants to play too.
What's your teacher's name?
Her name's Linda.
And what does she look like? I picture her like...
She kind of looks like Patricia Arquette, like but more like now.
Oh, I pictured her like with pearls and like.
No, she's more of like a bohemian.
Oh.
She might be a little bit older than me. And I also realized what makes someone a good teacher, because I noticed she has it so much, is patience. So she's like always acts like it's the first, like I'll ask her how to do something like so many times. Mm-hmm. And she's always acts like it's the first time I've asked her. So I think that quality, if you can, I mean, I don't really have that.
Right, neither do I, but you're right.
You have to have it with a kid, I think.
Yeah, I think I've learned a lot about having patience with a kid because of having my own kid, and I don't want to be yelling at her all the time. So, not that I would be yelling, but when she's crying and kind of having a temper tantrum, I'm better at ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Paul has less patience than I do, but
yeah, I don't know.
I'm just bragging now.
That's a good quality.
To brag?
No.
To have patience. I don't know. That's what, like.
The way you're acting is kind of atypical.
I'm working on it. It is hard, but as a teacher, I think you're so right.
Yeah, yeah, so she's a very good teacher, and so then today...
So you don't feel self-conscious when you ask her?
No.
That's cool.
And she's just kind of, like, down for whatever. So she right. just, like, will teach, and she likes kind of... She'll bring me, like, songs from the 70s and old country songs. Like, you know, she kind of knows what I like.
What do you know how to play?
Well, I know how to play most of the songs from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
That's so cute.
All those country songs. Because they're all only two or three chords.
Really?
And then she'll teach me the rhythm, so it's really easy.
Seems really hard to me. Playing an instrument seems, it's not my strong suit. I don't work well with my hands that way.
Oh, interesting.
But Paul plays guitar and bass, and I've tried to learn that. And
well, guitar hurts. I don't like guitar either.
I know.
And drums seems hard.
Drums is impossible. Anybody who plays drums is like an anomaly. Like, they're all crazy people because you kind of like have to be this weird genius, I think.
Yeah, piano's easy.
I think it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, maybe to some people, but it doesn't hurt. That's what I like about it. Like, it doesn't seem like...
It doesn't hurt.
Like, the flute, that seems annoying. Like, every instrument seems annoying. I don't know, but piano just is like...
Piano seems so cool. Like, my dream... One of my dreams is to walk into a party at your house or somebody else or just like the lobby of a hotel and like sit down at the piano and just like and like, you know, kind of like wow even people who are my friends, like have them never know that I can just like play
the problem too is to get to that point where you could like walk into a party and casually do it.
That's so
you
cool.
have to be so good because you get I'm good when I'm by myself, but then as soon as someone's listening, then I like trip up more. Do you know what I mean?
I do it anyway. I can only play Heart and Soul and Chopsticks. I guess I don't do that at your house, but I would.
You'd walk in and sidle on over to the piano and play Chopsticks at a party.
Yeah, I played Heart and Soul at your house the last time you had a nighttime party I did.
Did you really? I don't remember. Well, because Brent's always playing piano and he's good.
He's really good.
But he used to play in airports. We just shout. Or like hotels.
I remember.
Yeah, you
just
totally
like,
see him doing that, Brent Weinbach.
He's so good at it. And
he probably wore a suit.
Right. Yeah. He's very comfortable behind.
He writes songs and stuff.
When he tickles the ivories. So gross saying that. Right? I like it. You like yell at him to play songs. We're like, play, do you know any Rent? He's like, no.
Yeah, he always wants to play like some of the songs he's working on, but they're usually good.
All I want to hear are musicals.
Oh, he wrote a musical.
I don't want to hear his original musical. I mean, no, I do, but after I know all of the words.
Do you like Beauty and the Beast or no? I don't like it at all, but just that Be Our Guest song, I was playing it for the child, and that's really good.
For the child. Yeah. No, I would like to know how to play that.
But
mean,
it made
I
me excited
only saw
to
the
have
old
a,
movie.
Oh, okay. It just made me excited to start watching these with, because then,
yeah,
like Tom Lennon told me, he's got like an 8-year-old, and he's like, we just watched Les Miserables and ate a pizza. And I was like, that sounds fun.
Is heaven. That sounds, I cannot wait. I mean, I already watch musicals. Are we not saying our kids' names for a reason?
Oh, I just never say my kid's name.
Why?
Because I'm afraid someone will steal the name. And I don't
But if somebody heard you say it, then they would be like, oh, I can't name my kid that now because Natasha Leggero's kid is named that.
I know. I just always wanted her to have a unique name. So I was like, oh, I'll never say her name. So in case someone, you know, is out of ideas, they might copy it.
Well, my kid's name is Mary, so that's kind of off the unique table. But I watch Moana with her as like a musical because I really like the music. We've watched
that one's good. I watched some of that.
You should learn how to play songs from Annie.
That would be fun. I love Annie.
I know. And the songs are so fun to sing.
Dumb
Every
Dog.
Single So good. Every single song is so fun.
I think
to
musical theater is a little harder though. Like I'm kind of in like a, you know, when people are like, oh, that song only has three chords. Like most songs are like pretty easy. They're like three chords. But I think musical theater is like way more.
Yeah.
Hard. It's higher degree difficulty.
I taught myself how to play Lean on Me.
You did?
Yeah. It's really easy. But only the very beginning. I can't read music either. You can probably play it to its full potential, Lean on Me. Like
I learned it.
Do 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 do. Like I play piano with a finger. So what made you want to start taking piano lessons when 6 years ago?
Well, I've always kind of had this fantasy and then I was always attracted to pianos. And I actually remember when I lived in Harlem at some point right before I moved here, right before 9/11 in mm-hmm. New York. And someone told me, oh, I know a piano that's being sold for like $100. So I was like, I'll buy it. And so I bought this piano and I hired these movers and it was so sad. They had to like completely take it apart.
Oh, no.
It was like a vintage piano. So they had to completely take it apart to get it up all of the, mm-hmm. you know, rows of stairs in this like small walk up.
Right.
And so then it was in my studio apartment that had like two windows that faced a brick wall. And it was just so depressing. And then I subletted the place and went to L.A. And then 9/11 happened. And then I just left New York.
Right.
So I kind of always was trying to learn how to play it. Mm-hmm. And so then when I moved here, when I got a house or, rented a house, I was like, oh, I should look into renting a piano. And then I found one and it was like $30 a month. And it was it was like a vintage cool piano. And then after like a year, I said, can I just buy this? And then I gave him like $300 or something.
No way.
So the whole thing cost me like, I don't know, $1,500. But I still have it and it looks really cool.
It does. It looks great.
Yeah. So you can rent them if you're interested. If someone
That's
were interested.
So cool.
And then I happened to find a cool teacher. So I got kind of lucky.
How'd you find the cool teacher?
Someone just told me about her. I don't know.
You always know a guy.
I feel like that's like a luck I have. Like yeah. I feel like I always find good people to like help me envision what I want.
Yeah, you're really good at that. Like, and which brings us to your next hobby, which is interior design. Was the piano, it was both something, your fantasy was like this finishing school rich girl fantasy.
Yeah, where I was always learning about philosophy and art and like right. how to become sophisticated. And
then was it also part of your interior aesthetic, do you think? I think.
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
But also I think the way
because rich people have pianos.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, pianos. Well, what I like is like an old fashioned kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of like a party where there's like someone playing piano.
My grandfather had a player piano.
That's cool. Yeah, that would be fun to put on at a party. Wait, does he still have it?
He died.
What did they do with it? You should have gotten it. That would be
so
cool.
It was like a baby grand player piano. Like I lived on Ludlow Street. With a bathtub in the kitchen. Like there
that would be
no
so
one had
cool.
any place to put it. Yeah.
Right.
I know. It was really cool and we used to put it on and then do dances all around.
Well, I think that interior design, I think if you are around people who have good style, mm-hmm. then or have a talent for that, then you can kind of you get better at it. You know, like I worked for this yeah. this clothing designer, but she was really good at that. And so I always
what clothing designer? You don't want to say?
I don't think it's a thing anymore.
Oh. Was she famous?
No.
But she had great aesthetic?
Yeah.
And so you learned a lot from
her? She was
that's
like
true.
German. And she just kind of, she would like walk into a room and be like, she's like, why are these three flowers in a row? They should be on the steps. 1, 2, 3. And then ooh. She would just kind of make it. And then she's like, people always try to cram a bunch of furniture into their house. Like just make it an open space and get rid of stuff. And she just had like a very... like keen eye. And so then, you know, hanging out with her for like 3 years working for her, I feel like I just kind of understood it more.
I worked for designer as well. And I feel like I can so relate to what you're saying. I learned a lot about taste and aesthetic from my friend still, Cindy Green. And she owned this line called Libertine that she doesn't own anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But she just knew so much about what is aesthetically pleasing to the eye. And I didn't know anything.
Like you train your eye. So then you, yeah. once you see what's good and what works, then it's hard to look at things
yeah.
in the other way because you've already like,
yeah,
there just, is a superior thing that's like more pleasing usually.
Totally. And she
spatially
knew that.
At least.
Mm-hmm. I still don't really know it, but I know more because of her. You know a lot.
But also, I'm not really that good.
You are. Oh, my God. So I was saying that Natasha knows. She always knows, like, a guy. She always knows a lady.
That's true. I definitely know someone who will tile your ceiling.
Yeah, see?
And also paint a mural on your ceiling. And also...
do all of the curtains.
Make curtains,
and shades.
Yeah.
And the curtains... And her house is unbelievable. It's so lush. It's like the chateau.
That is actually... one of the things I study.
Yeah, I studied the chateau too. This is my version of it.
No, but I like that. I've never been to a room. Like when I go to the Bowery Hotel.
You can see online though.
Oh yeah. But I'd like to see it because like when I go to the Bowery Hotel in New York, I take pictures of everything.
Yeah. You should stay at the Chateau a night. It's so fun and it's beautiful.
I bet.
It's like rich, but also sparse.
That's what I want. I want less things.
Me too.
I mean, I just like throw things away. I need to stop doing that. I
throw everything away. Like when I'm sick of looking at it.
I know. It's awful.
It is. But then why do we buy so much stuff? Because we
love
buying stuff.
I want to stop buying stuff. I want to delete my Amazon account. That would be cool.
Well, that I can't do.
I know.
But you make a good point. Like, I just wouldn't know where else to get my dog food for Judy because she's a sensitive stomach. But I think Amazon is bad. Just kidding. If you're sponsoring this podcast. Just kidding. Does Amazon sponsor anything? Oh my God, they're going to. See, I should really have a partner. I don't know.
Why do you want a partner?
I don't know, to play off each other like that.
Oh, am I not giving you enough?
No. You're my guest. I'm saying like every time.
Oh, like you want to like ask someone something.
Yeah, like, no, I don't know. Just kidding.
I like the idea of this podcast. I like the idea of a hobby. I think it's really interesting. It's definitely like... something that it seems very elitist.
Well, thank you for pulling me back to the subject. See, to pull me back to the subject.
I was trying to be your co-host. That's
you
what I
were
would do.
Because I have ADD, ADHD, whatever. So I'll go off on a thing. But you think it's elitist?
Well, to like discuss something that is like what you like to do in all of your free time, because most people don't have free time.
Well,
don't you even find when you're busy, you don't have free time? Like, it's really hard to.
That's why I wanted to ask people, because it isn't only about free time. It's about what do you do that makes you happy with that has no agenda behind it. That doesn't make you look better to other people. It doesn't give you career networking.
Yes.
Points.
And I think that it's so important to find that or to do that, or you know what I mean? And even knowing I was doing this podcast, it probably subconsciously made me take a lesson today.
That's cool. And that's great. I like that.
So I'm interested in how can you keep giving it energy, your hobby?
Well,
have you figured anything out from doing this podcast?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know if I figured anything out. If it gives you, if it makes you happy, like I would never sign up to take piano lessons because playing the piano is a hobby that I would want to do. But because I'm not doing it, I'm pretty sure that I would dread the piano lessons. That said, though, I used to sometimes like, you know, I took ballet class and sometimes I was like, oh, I really don't feel like going. So I just wouldn't go.
You always bring up ballet to me. I've never been attracted to it as a thing.
Right.
Like, so I don't know that I would put my kid in it.
Right.
What do you like about it?
Oh my God, I think it's so beautiful. I love watching it. I love watching people dance.
I need to see more of it. I just don't like the aesthetic of the outfit.
Oh, see, that's one of the main things that I love is the aesthetic of the outfits that you wear to class and the outfits that the costumes you wear on stage. Yes.
That's very cute that you like that.
I love the French names of the positions. I love everything about ballet. If, in fact, I think I love watching ballet dancers learn how to dance as opposed to watching them on stage, because I know that they know it so well by that point. It's almost like, it's almost surreal watching them, because they're not going to mess up. There's nothing raw about it. But when they're learning it, it's really, it's so hard. They're like like Olympic athletes who don't get paid any money, and it's art. So it's like,
that's an interesting way to look at it. But what happens when your daughter wants to become a ballerina?
Great. What do you mean? I hope she does.
But isn't it extremely competitive? I just have friends whose kids are in ballet, and they always have to like drive to Irvine, and they're trying to get into all these special classes. Seems like a nightmare.
For me, I'm like, ugh, the driving. I probably have to drive places. If it's competitive, that's my kid's journey.
Right.
I'm not competitive about it. Like, I'm not going to be like a dance mom. I just don't have it in me. I don't have that kind of competition in me. If Mary does, like, good for her. Like, that's what I was just, were you into sports when you were growing up?
No.
Me either.
I did swimming.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
You still like swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Does it bring you joy?
Yes, but it's hard to get myself to do it.
Mm. I mean, I like fun swimming, but I don't like laps.
I do, yeah.
You love laps.
I mean, I can't say I love it, but it feels like a great all-over exercise, and it always feels good to be in water.
Yeah, that's, you know, cool. I would do water ballet. I don't know what that is, really. But like, do you wear a swimming cap?
No.
You would look so chic in a swimming cap, don't you think?
I mean, I've had them for sure.
Totally.
Actually, I probably should wear a swimming cap.
I just can picture you and it looks so cute. Do you know how to do the butterfly?
Yeah. Well, because
that's cool.
I was on the swim team.
You were?
That was my... I have like a folder full of yellow ribbons. Like, I would get fourth place, but they would make me do butterfly because a lot of people couldn't do it, but I was the slowest.
But that's because still so cool. I think butterfly looks so hard. It's like doing the worm of dance.
And
of
also
swim.
Swimmer's body is like broad shouldered and like a little taller. Like, I don't really have a swimmer's body.
Were you competitive on the swim team?
No, I hated it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I just felt like my childhood, I was just waiting for my life to start.
From what age? What age did you think your life would start? Like when you left town?
Yeah. So probably like from age 12 to age 17.
Where'd you go to college?
Illinois State University, but then I went to New York.
You dropped out of school?
Mm-hmm.
And went and lived in New York?
Yeah.
And is that when you felt like your life started?
I don't know. That's a good question. I never really thought about it after that. I just knew I had to get out of there.
You were like, I want to act. I want to do comedy. I'm hitting the streets of New York. I'm hitting the brick walls. Backdrop.
Something like that.
Did you, when you were that age, did you have any hobbies when you were moved to New York in your
20s?
Well,
I think before, another thing about hobbies that's interesting is it's almost like you have to be secure in your field, and then you're like, oh, now I have a hobby that has nothing to do with it. Because before you're there, then you're just like, acting is a hobby because no one's ever paid you to do it.
Right.
So you keep like trying to do it, and everything you do, at least for me.
But you know that's what you want to be when you grow up.
Right, but every single allotted time was spent either trying to figure out how to become an actress or, you know,
but then
or
you had downtime. So you were saying that you think it's elitist. I think the problem is the word hobby, because most people work all day and then go home and watch TV.
Right.
That's a hobby. I mean,
watching TV is a hobby.
I mean, if that's what brings them joy, maybe it's like jerking off. Maybe it's whittling.
Jerking off could definitely be a hobby.
I think it's probably not the healthiest of hobbies. Not that there's anything wrong with jerking off, but
is being an alcoholic a hobby?
You know what? Maybe I take that back. Like, maybe jerking off and drinking and doing drugs. I don't think that being addicted to anything brings somebody joy. I think that's, it's something true. That they have to do. They can't not do. So maybe when people drink recreationally, sure. Like, I don't think that if it brings them that much joy, then it's probably getting to the point where they're trying to fill a void, which is what this podcast is called. So maybe it is a hobby. Yeah. Is I it mean, out yet? You don't necessarily have to fill the void with something that's good for you.
That's true.
I should talk to somebody whose hobby is smoking weed. And doesn't affect their life and they
You're
don't do it.
You're talking to one of them.
So that's no. another one of your hobbies.
No, I do smoke pot though. But it does feel more like a hobby, kind of how you're saying it, because then right. you like,
yeah, it's like a recreational thing for you.
Or you know what it does? It enhances hobbies.
It does. So did you smoke weed before your piano lesson today?
No.
Truth. Truth Corner, a segment on our show called Truth Corner. New segment alert. Truth Corner. No judgments.
No. But
I'm giving her like the Larry okay, David yes. eyes. That's fine. So the fact that you lied about it means you're an addict. I'm kidding. But like, what did you feel ashamed saying that?
No. I mean, I did earlier this morning because I had a headache. But I don't really
no
have addiction
judges.
Issues.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
well, because you said whatever you say. No,
you
I'm kidding.
Said
I'm
if
kidding.
Someone is an alcoholic, they
it's probably well. I said it's probably not bringing
them joy.
Now that isn't to say that filling the void has to be something
people
that
can
makes
fill
you feel
it with
good.
Food,
right? And it
that
can,
makes you feel
look,
good.
Look, I
but...
filled it for years with drugs and alcohol, and it did feel good up until a point where it didn't, and I still did it. You know what I mean? So like, it doesn't necessarily need to bring you joy. It certainly didn't further my career in any way.
Right.
I think part of the reason why I wanted to do this podcast is because I don't use drugs and alcohol anymore to fill the void or food or sex or whatever. I was curious about what other people do. If other people have the same issue, you know, if other people are like, well, what? Like, I have like some leisure time.
What do you do in your leisure time?
Paint.
Oh, you're so good.
That's really nice.
Wait, I forgot. So
I do a lot of different things, but right
but
now
you're
it's paint.
Actually good at painting.
That's kind. And I.
But if you were drinking and doing drugs, you still you wouldn't have the time probably to be
I
painting
think,
like so prolifically because you're always posting.
I think I would lose interest in it faster. I think maybe I would rationalize by saying drinking and doing drugs enhances my painting. And then ultimately...
It does sound fun to be drinking and painting.
Totally. And then it just sounds fun to be drinking.
Right. I see
like,
what you're saying.
I don't need another activity. So that's like ultimately what happened to me and other things that I did. Like I used to be so creative and drinking and doing drugs and super creative. And then I wasn't, it just consumed my life. But I have issues with that stuff. Not everybody does.
Wait, do you paint every day?
Usually, yes. I usually would say I'm addicted to it. Another thing is that I listen to books while I paint.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm actually listening to a book that your husband recommended, World War Z, which I like, but it can be like a little slow at times for me because it's an oral history of, I like sci-fi fantasy. I mean, I like all kinds of books, but Moshe and I.
Oh my God, he took me to that movie. It was so awful.
I never saw it. It doesn't look good to me, but I heard the book
boring.
Is really good. But I'm reading it, but sometimes I can tell how into a book I am by how much I'm painting.
Does it influence the paintings?
Probably. I never thought about that.
That's cool. I bet you it does. Also, the third, like, to be a good at piano, you have to do like at least 30 minutes a day. That's why it's good that you're doing it every day. You can't just do like once a week.
Right. Like
then
practice.
You forget everything. Yeah. So it's like, I'm not exactly sure how to instill that, but I'm always like happier if I can figure out how to have 30
right.
minutes a day to do that.
But you can, let's say you practice piano 30 minutes a day. You might not be like Mozart, but you'd be able to play piano
all the time whenever I wanted.
Right. See, painting, I can paint every single day and never be good.
You're good, though. What are you talking
about? I mean, I feel good about the stuff that I post, but like...
You don't think if
people,
you
gave, I'm not talking... Like, I've never had an art show.
But if you weren't also good at writing and everything else you do, don't you think if you put all of your energy into painting, you probably could, like, get somewhere?
I really don't know. I think it's like...
I bet you could.
I bet I couldn't. I mean, you know what? I shouldn't say that because it's so negative, but like, that's a whole world I know nothing about. I never took an art class, really. Like, I never took a painting class. I know very little about composition, and I don't think you need to know that stuff to be a famous painter or a paid painter, like somebody who makes a lot of money, but... It's a scene.
I just figured out something about your podcast.
Okay.
Well, so your hobbies are sometimes things that you kind of know you're not quite good enough to like really super succeed at as a career. Like, I couldn't be a professional singer.
Oh my God, you have such a good voice. Natasha yesterday sing a note of music to her daughter, well, to both of her kids, and she was just like,
no.
Much better than that.
But I'm not at the level of like a singer. If you ever hear like a professional,
no, someone but if who's you like trained every good, single day, maybe you could be.
I don't think so, because I think that's like your talent in your voice. Like, it's not like your voice is going to change.
Yeah, you train your voice. Like, you practice the piano, you train your voice as a singer. I don't know if you could ever be good, but you will never know if you don't really train for it. And I think the same thing with writing. Like, I don't know if I'm a great writer, but I know how to do it because I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
So like, whether I'm a good painter or not is kind of irrelevant. I think I think that is a good point you're making. Like, I don't have the confidence that I have the way that I have it with writing, because I've accomplished stuff with writing, but not ever with art.
And the truth is, you're just a creative person. So you're following where the energy of the art is taking you. Like, I remember once I was taking tap dancing lessons for like this one person show I was doing. But then I started, but that was before I was doing it for, I ended up putting it in a one person show. I was just taking it to take it.
That's
and then
so
I started
fun.
To feel like guilty. And I remember my boyfriend at the time, he was like, that's just the way the creativity is manifesting itself. So you should follow that. Follow the tap dancing. So then I always kind of had it in my head that, you know, wherever the energy pointed at, then I would try to, you know.
That's so true. And also, I took a tap dancing class.
I'm not good at it.
It's so hard. It's the drumming of dance.
Yes, exactly. I was
not really, really hard.
It was just a little too hard. But the idea of being able to do it seems so funny.
It does seem so cool and funny. And also, the shoes are so great. And I used to wear them to bars and clubs. I used to wear tap shoes out because I thought that they were so fun.
I bet you there's some people who take tap dancing who are just like, oh my God, it's like I was born to do it. It's just so easy. But like, I don't know that.
I think that maybe they feel that they were born to do it, but like easy.
Right.
People make it look easy, but like, do you think anything is easy? Like, I don't think anything is easy.
Well, I think for some people, physical things are easy. Like, easier. I'm not like that. Like, Moshe likes to surf, and then his friend who just tried it with him is like way better at him immediately because he was already a skateboarder. Mm-hmm. So it's like some people can just like pick up physical things, or, you know, some people are more athletic. I don't know. I am definitely not.
I'm not.
No,
I love
neither.
Dancing, though. But I love dancing like... Too. In front of the mirror. I love dancing at parties, at weddings, and so I love going to ballet and I like taking dance classes, but
it's such a different kind of dance though than you would ever have socially.
It's really not like free swim. It's like when you say that you were on the swim team and you like doing laps, or you can do that, like
I like doing that for my exercise, which I already hate exercising. So
but
I'm
the fact
saying
that
it's
you
the
do
best.
Exercise at all. And that you do that as exercise is impressive to me, because I wouldn't choose that as my exercise. I would choose dance.
But that's not realistic to say I'm going to dance every day, is it?
Me?
Like, don't you have to exercise every day or three times a week? No.
But I used to dance three times a week.
Really? That would be
fun.
Yeah,
two or three times a week.
You would take ballet.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that that's like a great exercise.
It is, though, because you're stretching, too, and that's really healthy.
It wasn't bad, but like it's not like, it was more of like a meditation. Like, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of a combination between performance art and exercise or athleticism. So I wouldn't like lose weight from it, but I hate exercising. The only thing I like to do is dance. So I'll maybe, if I'm like, I need to lose weight, which I don't say because I don't fucking give a shit how much I weigh and whether I'm fat or thin. Like,
you're skinny now, but you don't care.
No, but I was not for so long.
Because you were pregnant.
Yeah, but also like my weight fluctuates. Cooking and like food isn't one of my hobbies.
I hate cooking.
You do?
Someone
I didn't
was
know
telling
that.
Me that maybe I had to examine something in my life because I hated cooking.
Who fucking told you that? Fuck that person. Sorry if it's like your mom, but that's so annoying. Like, examine this. Curse finger. Middle finger. Funny.
I can't tell you who told me.
It was Chelsea. Chelsea is like, loves food, though. Like, I go to her house and she's like, I made this, I made that. Like, she always has food.
I was
food.
At her house and she was grilling halloumi cheese and making egg salad.
I know. Like, Chelsea, but that? she that's like.
And it was, the cheese was
she's
so
really,
easy.
She's a really good cook and
she's
she loves.
She's talented at it.
And she has like a very great palate. I remember when we were pregnant, we would ask each other all the time, what are you getting for dinner tonight? Because she would give me ideas of what
she's
to order.
Really good at that. Yeah. She said she could sell her Postmate orders because they're so good.
Yeah, she's order bragged to me before and I'm like, great order. And it's so.
I've definitely started getting things based on her orders.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say that, like, I think you're so good at interior design and like, that is a creative outlet. Like, that's an art
it
form.
It is, but I don't think I would want to do it for anyone besides myself.
Right.
And I think it's like everyone, if you have the means to decorate your house, it seems like you would want to like pick the things out.
I don't even think
yourself.
You need to have by the means. I think you need to have like hands and maybe not even.
Oh, yeah. I had a dorm room in New York and it was like so depressing that I whitewashed all the furniture and then like put that. I did like some sort of, it was like shabby chic kind of like.
But that's so cool. Like, I would never even think to do that.
And I bought a white plush rug and then I did, so everything was white and then I had the white rug and then I did this like line or it's like mint green color all over the walls and then put like a pattern over it all.
That is so crazy.
I wouldn't get depressed.
That's so cool though. Like, you really thrive when your
around
environment is aesthetically pleasing.
Well, you know what's funny though? I thrive my own self, like I thrive, but as like someone who needs to get things done, I usually have to like go somewhere terrible to like
interesting.
Like I want to luxuriate in my what I've created. I don't want to like work in it usually.
Yeah, you are like a really good host and you're great at having people feel comfortable and at home in your house. And I don't know, it is really nice to be in the environments you create. I get it. I mean, that's interesting.
You create them too.
But you also go the extra mile that I'm way too lazy to go to.
Because I want it to be perfect.
Right. Like, I don't care. But.
And by the way, I'm not like that in any other aspect of my life.
Really?
Not really. Only that. Only with my house, like, I get very, like, type A. It's not a great quality, actually.
Why? Well, who does it hurt?
Well,
does it drive you crazy?
I think it probably is, like, unpleasant for Moshe, but he's very sloppy.
Oh, really?
Like, if he's been in the kitchen, every single cabinet is open and, like, five drawers. And there's, like, shoes on the stove. Like, it's like a hurricane.
Paul's really neat in the kitchen.
Ugh. That sounds nice.
We have different strengths and weaknesses when it comes to cleaning. And my strength is nowhere near the kitchen. I don't like our kitchen though. I think I'm like, oh, well, if we redid our kitchen.
Right.
But I'm too lazy about and too cheap to redo it. However, your kitchen is so awesome. Like, I would enjoy being in there.
You should do it. I'm going to start sending you images.
Images I have. It's like, who do I call? I have to like call a guy and then he comes here and then he says this, and this. And then another guy has to come and say, no, it's going to be this
much. It takes a lot of time and energy.
Right. It's like so many.
When you put it like that, it makes me never want to do it again. But wait, why were you talking about the kitchen? Oh, the cleaning. I was a very good cleaner as a child.
Also interior design. Like, you really inspire me.
Thank you.
And also inspired me to do this podcast today because Natasha was like, the thing about doing the podcast is that you have to stay on top of yourself and keep doing it. And I was like, great, want to come over tomorrow. So thank you. And I think this was such a great conversation.
Okay, good.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a very, I think finding a way to harness your creative energy is positive.
Yeah. And it's like,
and that's what a hobby is.
On that note, thank you so much for doing this. I can talk to you for 1,000 years and I will.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming over. Now go get that cutie.
Oh, okay.
Her dog cutie.
She's sick.
She's going to be okay.
Okay, good.
Okay, so for filling the void, I'm really interested in like weird hobbies, hobbies that people are super obsessed with. And we have a toll-free number and you can leave a message. Please call us at 844-370-VOID. Leave a message. Tell me what your weird, awesome, delicious, obsessive hobby is, because I'm like, I just want more and more and more. And I like it when people are obsessed with weird shit. And you can rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about Filling the Void. Bye.
Hey, this is Kate from Portland, Oregon. One of my hobbies is walking around and looking for free boxes. I'm looking right now. I found a couple tables. Don't really like them. Some books. But I don't know. We'll see what we'll find. Another thing is that I just thrifted a ton of beads, like plastic, glass beads, weird little strings, stuff like that. And I just like sit at home at night and make bracelets and necklaces. And I've just started making my friends' necklaces. I make one almost every day. And it's kind of hard to stop once you start. But those are my hobbies. Bye.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.